This next story spans more than six decades, but it ends up in the same place it began. Here's Only a Game's Karen Given.
Oh, 3-2, one down, runners on first and second, the Red Sox leading 2-0.
In the summer of 1956, when Wanda Fisher was not quite 8 years old, she stumbled upon a Red Sox game on the radio.
The guys had these beautiful radio voices, you know, these perfect-sounding voices. They didn't have Boston accents.
Fly ball hit deep to right. Jensen going way back.
Wanda tried to imagine a game, but she couldn't quite picture it. Sure, the diamond must have four sides, but what did the bases look like? So she asked her father to take her down to the field where the high school kids played.
Then the next time I listened on the radio, it made a lot more sense. By the time I was 10, I started to pick up some of the nuances. And then when I was 14, my mother allowed me to go with my friends to my first game at Fenway Park. And then it really got bad.
Well, tell me about that first game. I mean, had you been begging her for a long time to let you
go? Oh, yeah, because, you know, in order to get to Fenway Park from Weymouth at the time, you had to take a bus from Weymouth to Quincy, and then you had to take another bus from Quincy to Fields Corner, and then you had to take a train from Fields Corner to Park Street Station, and then you had to go upstairs and take a trolley. So that was a project.
The year was 1963. Wanda says bleacher seats went for $1, and kids under 18 could sit in the right field grandstand for 85 cents. But for their first time in Fenway Park, Wanda and her two friends paid $3 each for box seats.
And we just had so much fun. We were so close to where the ball players were. And at the end of the game, we walked that bridge back to Kenmore Square and took the trolley, the train, and the two buses home. And it was just amazing.
After that, Wanda's mother let her go to the ballpark on her own, as long as she brought home a ticket and a completed scorecard to show that she actually had attended the game. Wanda's mom didn't know how to read a scorecard, but Wanda did. She learned from the best.
We always went for batting practice. We went early. I was filling out my scorecard with the lineups, and Kurt Gowdy, you remember who Kurt Gowdy was?
Kurt Gowdy.
And there's a long drive to deep right. That ball is gone.
He was the voice of the Red Sox from 1951 through 1966.
He came over to me and he said, "Do you know how to fill out that scorecard?" And I was like, "No." And he said, "Well, let me show you how we do it in the booth." And he showed me how to draw this little diamond and how to put in when a person hit a single and if they were caught stealing and all this other stuff. And he said, "Now, the next time I see you, I'm going to make sure you're doing it right." You know, I was petrified. I thought he was going to come back and, you know, give me 40 lashes or something if I did it wrong. And he came back a few weeks later when we were at batting practice, and he looked down and he said, "How's it going?" And I said, I think I'm doing good. And he said, "Okay, well, show me." And I showed him. He goes, "You're doing fine. Yeah, you're doing good." I just thought that was absolutely fabulous, you know, that Kurt Gowdy taught me how to score, and he gave me an A.
So that must have really inspired you to keep going.
It did. Yeah, it did.
Along the way, Wanda got the idea that maybe she could be more than just a fan of her beloved Red Sox. After all, she was a good writer. Her first letter to the editor, praising the local lifeguards, was published when she was in the second grade.
I thought, you know, I would really like to be a sports writer, and I think that I could do it even though I'm a woman.
Wanda went to the library and looked through the index cards to try to figure out if there were any women writing about sports. She found a few, but not many.
My mother said, "You might as well try to be president than be a woman sports writer." And I said, "Well, maybe I should try to be president. I don't know, you know."
When she got to high school, Wanda started writing about baseball for the school newspaper. She compared her articles to the ones the boys were writing. She thought hers were better. Then came the summer of 1965.
Neither one of my friends, who was one of my baseball companions, was available to go to the game, so I went by myself.
Wanda stayed until the very end of the game. She mingled in the players' parking lot, getting autographs. And as she was leaving, she spotted Rick Reichardt.
And I said, "Oh, aren't you the center fielder for the California Angels, Rick Reichardt?" And he said, Well, yes, I am.
Wanda and Rick were headed across the bridge to Kenmore Square. Rick was on his way to his hotel. Wanda needed to take the trolley to the train to the two buses that would take her home.
I said my goal was to be a sports writer, and I remember him actually stopping walking. And I think it was because he knew I was going to get on the train if we kept walking.
And he wanted to make sure that he got his message.
He wanted to make sure I got the point.
That's when Rick Reichardt, center fielder for the California Angels, told Wanda Fisher, 16-year-old from Weymouth, Massachusetts, something that would change the course of her life.
You know, you seem like a really nice girl. He said, you know, the guys really don't want women in the locker room or the clubhouse, and they're going to give you a hard time. I don't want to say don't do it. I'm just telling you that this is what you're going to be up against. And I thanked him, and he went to the Kenmore Hotel where the ballplayers stayed, and I went down into the subway to get on the trolley.
On the long ride home, Wanda thought about what Reichardt had said. She decided to follow his advice and not pursue a career in sports writing. Later, when Jim Boughton's book, Ball 4, came out, and she read about what went on in baseball's clubhouses, she knew she had made the right choice.
I would not have been able to handle the kind of language, let's say, that I was not used to hearing at my house when I was growing up. I just wouldn't have been able to do it.
It's interesting that you feel that way because on the one hand, you are describing yourself as this very opinionated child, as a very independent child, not an afraid child at all.
Well, I fought with the boys all the time when I was in school, but I would go home and cry about it because they made fun of me, you know. But how much of that could you take if it was constant by grown men whom you'd idolized all your life?
Wanda had a long and rewarding career in public relations and marketing. She says she's proud of all the women she sees on TV talking about sports, but she definitely did not go to work every day wishing that she had become a sports writer.
What I realized over the past 40 years is that most likely, had I not taken that advice, and I tried to break in through that glass ceiling that existed in the late 60s, early 70s, I probably would have hated sports. And if I had hated sports, my life would have been completely different. Where would I be?
Wanda doesn't live near Boston anymore, but she's still a fan of the Red Sox. And on August 5th, 2012, when the Sox hosted the Minnesota Twins, she got the chance to audition to become the public address announcer at her beloved Fenway Park.
Batting second, the left fielder.
It was basically the thrill of my life to be up there in that booth and say things like, now batting number 15, the second baseman, Dustin Pedroia. You know, I mean, that was amazing. That was amazing. And if I didn't love baseball still, I wouldn't have done that.
Recently, Wanda Fisher published her first book, a novel set in baseball. One of the characters is a minor league ballplayer who grew up in Weymouth, Massachusetts, two buses, a train, and a trolley ride from Fenway Park. When the novel was finished, Wanda sent a copy to Rick Reichardt.
I did. I found him through Facebook.
And did he respond?
No, he didn't respond to me yet, but I do expect to hear from him.
I mean, you sound like you're thankful for the advice that Rick gave you.
I am. I am thankful. You know, sometimes I will just be driving by a field and I'll see a Babe Ruth game and I'll pull over and I'll watch it for a few innings and somebody next to me will say, which one of those kids out there is your grandson? And I'll be like, none of them. I just want to watch these guys for a few innings. You know, I just love this game. I don't know. I can't explain it.
That story came from Only a Game's Karen Given. Wanda Fisher's novel is called Empty Seats. We'll have a link at onlyagame.org.